Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria. Today, of course, we begin Advent, and so we see the violet vestments and lack of flowers or relics on the altar. Excuse me. And again, the Gospel today picks up where we left off last week, and so we see truly we have been in pre-Advent time, and now we are in Advent proper. From the Gospel today, last week we had the apocalypse according to St. Matthew, and today we have the apocalypse according to St. Luke. In common is this, are many aspects, but importantly for our homily today, both Saints Matthew and Luke say this in our Lord's words, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. As we try to understand those difficult prophecies, both in Daniel and in the Gospels of Saint Matthew and Luke, about the end of the world, the signs in the sun and the heaven and the moon and the stars and all these different things, what is the essential aspect to recall? We recall that no man knows the day or the hour of the end of the world, so we can relieve ourselves of the burden of trying to figure that out. It's a very good burden to be relieved of. And so, as the Holy Father told us in his homily last week on this Gospel, we recall that, in the Holy Father's words, everything passes, but God's word does not change. And therefore, before this word, each of us is responsible for his conduct. It is on this basis that we will be judged. So at this time of the year, we once again recall those four last things: death, judgment, and then either heaven or hell. Those are the only realities that exist. And so, in all of the many vicissitudes of the world, the comings and goings away of different political kingdoms, we recall that all of that will vanish. But the Word of God, which has many meanings, the uncreated Word, which existed from before all time, eternally begotten of the Father, the eternal Word, will never change. It cannot change. It's impossible. And that should be a great consolation. Heaven and earth will pass away. We see that in our own lives, of course, our own bodies, they come into being and then they get old. And also in the different political kingdoms, the landscape comes into being and it changes so rapidly. This too was on the mind of Holy Prophet Isaiah, and we wanted to pick up a little bit today, again, from Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel, of course, Holy Prophet Isaiah, the great prophet he is styled. We have to go back in time a little bit from our last few homilies, speaking of the great prophets. So now, when Isaiah begins his prophecy, we're before all of the great tumults. We recall David and Solomon reigning in splendor around the year 1000. That didn't last very long, as we know. And so the 12 tribes were split. The 10 tribes went to the north, the northern kingdom, which is called the northern kingdom of Israel, with the capital at Samaria. And the other two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, in the south. Okay, that's the kingdom of Judah. And they have two different kings, and eventually two different religions. It gets very complicated. The capital, of course, at Jerusalem. So, Holy Prophet Isaiah begins, let's get the context, it's about the year 733 BC, okay, 733. And what's happening? The Assyrian Empire is very powerful, and they wish to enter into an alliance with Judah. Why? Because Judah and Israel are at war. So we see the brother has raised his hand against the brother. And there are two options. We can join league, the Judah could join league with Israel and fight against the north, or Judah could throw its lot in with Assyria, which was the superpower of the day, which is a much more rational decision, and go that way. So Holy Prophet Isaiah comes to King Wicked, King Ahaz, and says to him, "You cannot take up the sword against your brother. You cannot join league with the pagan, the Assyrian, because of course part of the political deal of protection from Assyria was that they had to erect a temple to the pagan gods. The political choices are always also theological choices. And King Ahaz was ready to do that because he believed more in the might of the sword than the power of Almighty God. And so Holy Prophet Isaiah was sent to him to remind him, as our Lord said, today's gospel, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. Well, King Ahaz refused this prophecy, and Isaiah said to him, ask God for a sign. He'll give you a sign, and then you, by that sign you will know the power of Almighty God. King Ahaz refused. He says, I will not ask God even for a sign. It's a false humility. He didn't want to be disturbed, as the Holy Father says in his book. King Ahaz didn't want to be put off from his realpolitik, from his very shrewd political choices. And so the great prophecy comes, which we read this week in the breviary. The great prophecy, again, if you only know five verses in the Old Testament, you should know this one, Isaiah 7, 14, also beautifully set by Handel. It's a little recitative. Behold, this is the prophecy Isaiah gives to us, but also to King Ahaz. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Of course, this prophecy is completely unintelligible to Ahaz at the time and remained so for 7 centuries until, of course, the virgin conceived and gave birth to the son. Of God. What's the lesson here? Well, how did it end up for King Ahaz? Well,